All right. If you want to turn your chair this way, grab your fill in the blank on your table. I hope you follow along. We're kicking off our second message of this series on the big deals. What was the big deal last week? Freshmen. Let's do it on three. The big deal last week was freshmen. Freshmen, we're glad you're here. Now, the rising freshmen, if you were here last week and you're here again, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're a freshman. Okay, that's pretty good, but I'm a little worried that my teaching last week threw some people off and they didn't come back again. That's what I was looking to see, how many people came back. But last week was the big deal about freshmen, and we talked about from the book of James how even though the freshman may be in the world in the lowly spot, really, in God, he puts them in the high position. God puts them in the high position. So this week, we're talking to the upperclassmen, which I'm going to consider those going into 10th grade, 11th grade, those going to be seniors, and those graduating, going off into college. And what we're talking about is the big deal about serving. What is the big deal about serving? I think that's a word that's thrown around churches a lot, is serving, and it is a big deal. And I hope today you walk away having a little bit more understanding, why is it a big deal? Why do we talk about it in church a lot? Why does God talk about it a lot? And last week, I compared two kingdoms. You guys remember what they are? One is the world's kingdom. One's the world's kingdom, and are we living towards that kingdom? And the second one is God's kingdom. Are we living in God's kingdom? Are we pursuing that kingdom? So there's two kingdoms in the world. It's just those two. It's either God's kingdom or it's the world's kingdom. And which one are we following? So those in the high position, we said we're the freshmen. James 2:5 says, "Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has God not chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who loved him?" So James is saying here, man, in God's kingdom, it's the poor of the world, it's those that are in the lowly spot that God wants to take. He puts them in the high position. And then we have those in the low position, which is, I want to read from you Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28. And so the background of this story is there's these two disciples, and their mom actually comes to Jesus and says, "Can you put my two sons, can you put one in heaven at your right hand and one at your left hand?" So like they're sitting there with all the power. And Jesus says to them, he then calls his disciples together, and he says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." So he really sets up these two kingdoms. He says, look, in my kingdom, God says, in my kingdom, if you want to be in the high spot, you have to put yourself in the low spot to serve. It's so unnatural. It is one of the most unnatural things as a human that we can do is to serve others in a way that we're not looking for anything from it. Because see, we have this flesh, this body of ours that we're born with, and you've heard before that it's born with sin. And that sin is really at its core is pride. And the pride says, it's about me. It's about me. And I will start off this message to tell you that this is a hard message because serving others flies in our face because it's hard, because it's unnatural, because we have to fight some of our basic tendencies to make it all about us. I think a good example of this, you guys ever heard of Undercover Boss? Who's ever heard of that show? I think that show is cool, and I think the reason I've enjoyed watching a few episodes is because what it shows is it shows this guy that everybody in the company sees the boss. He's in a high position. He's got all the power. And what does he do? He goes undercover. He goes in disguise, and he goes to kind of the lowly positions of the company to see what it's really like. And the employees don't know who it is. And he's just a cool example of someone that in the world is in the high position to put themselves in the low position. And at the end, after they've done the show and the boss has been with the different coworkers, you know, they have him, he reveals himself at the end of the show. And it's just really cool to see the workers that are in the low position kind of realize, wow, my boss didn't have to do this. This wasn't something he had to do, but he cared about me. And I think that's what we see in what Jesus is saying. He's saying, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Because see, when we look at the boss, whether it's at your work, whether it's your coach or teacher, we see them in this position of authority, but it's when they take a step down and come to us on our level, that's when they become great in our eyes. And it kind of reminds me of a coach that I had when I first played hockey. His name was Coach Henry, and he was really smart, knew a lot about hockey, but you know, he took care of each of us players. He cared about us. He was willing to serve us and show us, and I think that's why he made such a big impact on my life. And it's interesting that this whole thing of being in the high position, the low position, it kind of goes in cycles, because the seniors that are over there, right now they're at the highest position in high school. They're there, they've made it, they're seniors. And it's funny, in about 2 or 3 months, they're going to work their way back to the lowest spot as freshmen again. And so we keep going in these cycles, and in each of them, God kind of shows us different things. He reveals things about our heart, and he really shows us that the true purpose of where we are is to serve others and to glorify him. So the question is, what's the big deal about serving? I think there's two main points that are the big deal about serving. The first one is, the big deal about serving is, it's how we build the church. Serving each other, loving each other enough to come to the point where we will look at someone's needs above ours. That's how we build the church. That's how we build each other. That's how we encourage each other to do the works that God has before us, to glorify him. So the first reason is, the big deal about serving is that it's how we build each other up in the church. The second big deal is, it's God's mode, it's God's way to bring others to him. See, when the world sees people serving that want nothing back, that aren't asking for anything in return, but it's a true servant's heart, however that looks so unnatural that they say, why? Why would you do that? Quick example of that is this winter, it was, we had some snow, and one day I had a little bit of time, and so I saw this a little bit elderly lady outside scraping her car, and she had like so much ice on her car. She didn't, whatever she did in the beginning, a bunch of ice formed in there. So I just went over and I was like, hey, I'd just love to help you scrape off your car. And so I helped her scrape it all off. And she said, oh, you don't have to help me. I'm happy. I was like, look, I don't mind. It's not a big deal. And so at the end, I was about to leave and just got to know her a little bit. And she goes to hand me like 10 bucks. I was like, I don't want your 10 bucks. It's fine. I just wanted to help you. Just wanted to serve you. Just wanted to help you out. But I think to the world, to do something like that, to not take that money, to not want anything in return, but to truly care about somebody else, it's so unnatural that they will ask, why? Why do you do that? And it's at that point we get to tell them, it's because of Jesus living inside me. It's because he lives with me, his spirit is with me, and he guides me. And that's the reason that I do it. And I think for each of you, you would look in your life, and you'll see people that serve you in your life, that love you to the point where they're not asking for anything in return. They just truly care about you. But see, it took them to the point to realize, I'm okay. I can love you. I can care for you. I can serve you and want nothing in return. And that has made such an impact on you. I don't really get how it all works in the brain, but when we are served and someone wants nothing in return, it gives us a feeling that is kind of unexplainable, because we're just like, wow, they cared about me enough, cared about me that much that they would be willing to lay down their desires and serve us. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to just take a couple of minutes at your table. I want you to discuss who in your life is the most servant-hearted person that you know, and why do you see them as that? So who is the most servant-hearted person that you know in your life, and why do you see them as that? Take a couple of minutes to talk about that. All right, I know probably not everyone at your table got to answer, but I wanted to kind of get you started just thinking about it. Who are those people in your life that you used to see as different because their heart is bent towards serving? Probably one person that I think of that is just truly servant-hearted, and he was working with us until about a month or so ago, is Ryan Pedroni. Ryan Pajerney, you probably, some of you may not have known that he was working with the student ministry as a Sunday morning helper and worked in the office because he's such a behind the scenes guy. But the guy's heart is just so bent towards serving. I mean, he just wants to serve. So some of you that know him, you'll understand that. And I think when we look at serving and we try to break it down, we got to start with Jesus. And I know it's cliche. It's like we always start with Jesus. But there's some powerful verses in the Bible where it talks about Jesus being a servant. And that first one is in John 13, verses 1 through 7. I can't remember if I put this up there. But if it's in your Bible, I want to encourage you to open up to it. John 13, verses 1 through 17. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'd like for you to follow along. And to set the background, this is the day before Jesus is going to be end up going to the cross. It's the time before he's going to go to the cross. And he gathers his disciples, these 12 guys that have been hanging with him for like 3 years that he's taught. He's their leader. They consider him the Son of God. They consider him the Messiah. They get it. Like, they get who he is. They get that he's from God. And they're working on that, but they're getting this idea of who he is. They understand his power, his authority, his position. And so he has them in this upper room, and he gathers them together for this Passover meal, the Last Supper. And he starts in verse 4, and it says, "So he got up," that's Jesus, "from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus replied, 'You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand.' 'No,' said Peter, 'you'll never wash my feet.' Jesus answered, 'Unless I wash you, you have no part with me.'" Then he goes, then down to verse 12, it says, "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And he asked them, 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' Jesus said, 'Do you call me teacher and Lord? And rightly so, for that's what I am.'" So he's acknowledging the position that he has. He says, "You get it. I'm your teacher. I'm the Lord." But he says, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Jesus lays down, he lays on his authority, he lays on his position, and really he lays down his pride. I mean, when we get the concept, think about this with me for a minute. Jesus, prior to coming on earth, was in heaven with God. That's hard for me to fully grasp. I've never been to heaven, so I don't fully get it. But as I even begin to get it, I realize, man, Jesus in heaven with God, sitting at his right hand, helped him create the world, came to earth. Just to even do that, he gave up his authority. He gave up the high position that he had. He gave up being praised all the time. And he comes down, and at the end of his life, at the end of his earthly life, he says, "Look, I'm going to wash your feet. And because I, the one who is your leader, the one who is in the high position, because I did it, I'm now calling you to do the same thing." And the cool thing, the promise that we have from the Bible, it's not said in this verse, but the promise that we have is that if what Jesus calls us to do, he will give us the grace, he will give us the power, he will give us the desire to do that. Because like I said, unnatural. To serve, to wash somebody's feet is unnatural. And yet Jesus, who is our Savior, who is the one we look to that we want to be like, he said, "Do as I have done. Be willing to wash each other's feet." So he's saying, "I have set the example for you. I have showed you." And I have kind of a cool real life story about this from the bike trip, last bike trip. It was last year. It was my first bike trip. And towards the end of the week, we did a feet washing of each other's feet. And so, one, you got to get the concept here. We've been on the bike trip. We're kind of nasty, okay? So you got to get that concept. But go back a little bit. I had a guy in my group that seemed to continually want to I guess the word would say challenge my authority. It's like when I'm like, okay, everybody stay to the line. There's a car coming. This person decided they just wanted to scoot over. And I'm like, dude, you might die. I'm serious. I'm like, I need you to be safe. And so throughout the week, we kind of had this issue. And so at one point during the week, we stopped for lunch. And I went up to him and I said, hey, man, I said, what's the deal here? What's going on? What's wrong? Is there something that I've done? He's like, I just feel like you're just trying to be overburdening and always telling me what to do. And so he kind of talked through his story with me. And so then I said, look, man, I said, I'm not trying to just rule over you for no reason. I said, I have to keep this group safe. I'm the only leader in the group. I really need you to listen to me. He said, okay. And so that kind of ended. We were done with it. And so after that, I saw him kind of being a little bit more willing to listen to me. So we get to the end of the week. And Bob's like, look, we've been on this trip together. We've spent community. We've been really close. And so now I think there's some of you here that, you know, we probably need to wash each other's feet in the idea that we need to kind of lay ourselves down, our pride, for someone else. And I'm like, all right, Lord, is there anybody's feet that you want me to wash? And so God brings this person to mind. I'm like, really, Lord? Couldn't it be my wife? Couldn't it be her feet that I wash? I'd rather do that. And so it was this person's feet. And I went over to him and said, man, I feel like God wants me to wash your feet. And so I did. And as I got done, he goes, you know, no one in my life has ever taken the time to ask me how I feel. He said, I've been kind of challenging authority for a long time, but no one in my life has ever taken the time to ask me how I feel. And now you've come and you've washed my feet. And see, I didn't really totally get why did God want me to go to that person, but God had designed that moment for me to lay down my pride because I had the position of authority in the earth. In the earthly way, I had the high position of authority. God said, lay it down to serve someone else. And there's going to be times where we serve, where God calls us to do something that seems really weird. And we're like, oh, why? Why would you want me to do that? But we don't get what's going on behind the scenes. Because see, when we take that step to serve, God says, I will bless that. I will use that. It's not for no reason that you do this. There is a reason. And so in the same way, Jesus said, I have laid down my position to wash your feet. Now you go and do that to others. See, God, there's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of the world. The world says, serve my kingdom. It's all about me, have control. And God says, serve my kingdom. It's about laying yourself down because of who I am and what I've done for you. And I've called you to do that. And then flip over to Matthew 20, and I want to read verses 25 through 28. So go to Matthew 20. It says, and I read this at the beginning, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus sets up these two kingdoms. He says, look, there's the world's kingdom. There's these rulers of the Gentiles. They lord it over them. They're high officials. They exercise the authority over them. So they're all about control. Let me keep my power. And Jesus says, I've got another kingdom for you. And obviously, this was going against everything that the disciples that he was talking to, it's going against it because he has to say it to them. Just like now, we're talking about the big deal about serving. Because it kind of flies in our face and says, it's for me. When I think about laying myself down, laying my desires, my thoughts, my will down, man, it's hard. It's unnatural. We're fighting against the kingdom of the world to serve in God's kingdom. So Jesus says, here's the world's kingdom. Authority, control, power, manipulation, do what I want. I want to be comfortable, luxury. I want the feeling of being on top. And then there's God's kingdom. And it says, you be a servant and a slave. And then I'm saying again, it is unnatural, and yet God has called us to it. So Jesus sets up what I want to call this kingdom pattern. You know, we have patterns of thought. Patterns of thought direct the way that we live. And Jesus sets up this kingdom pattern. But I want you to know, the results are real. The results are real. When we serve others in a way where we lay ourselves down to listen to God and do what he calls us to do, the results are real and God uses it, whether we see it or we don't. And the cool thing is, There's those of you that are in this room right now because somebody else at your table, and you know who you are, somebody else at your table said, God, you've called me to serve them. You've put it on my heart. I'm going to do it. I don't know what the results mean. But now they're here, and they're hearing about God's truth because you were willing to serve. And we don't do it because we're forced. We don't do it because God, he just says so. We do it because we're compelled to. And the only reason that we can do it is because of God living in us. The only reason that we can serve in a way that we will look for nothing in return and have a lifestyle that does that is because of God's Spirit in us. As I said, it's unnatural. The flesh inside of us says, don't serve others. Don't do that. It says, serve myself. So I want you to do this. On your sheet, there's a spot where it says, which am I serving? I want you to think about it. I don't want anyone else to look at anybody else's sheet. I want you to put, am I serving God's kingdom more, or am I serving the world's kingdom more? I'll give you about 30 seconds to write that down. So am I serving God's kingdom more, or am I serving the world's kingdom more? Which is really myself, to serve myself. All right. The number one enemy to serving, the number one enemy to a lifestyle of serving is pride. Flip to Philippians. Flip to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Here Paul writes, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. I think Paul could have been looking back to the Last Supper where Jesus washed his disciples' feet when he wrote this. And he says, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death on a cross. So pride, the number one enemy to serving. Pride really, in its core, at the basic core of it, pride says, I'm God. Not that I'm trying to act like God, the God that we worship, but I want to be the God of my life that says, I control my life. I do what I want. I like who I want. I serve who I want. That's what pride is. Pride at the core is that I'm the God of my life. I control my life. But pride is the extreme enemy of serving. And see, there's this battle that I've been telling you about. There's these two kingdoms that are battling against each other in our lives. And I think Galatians 5, verses 13 through 15 says it great. He says, you, my brothers and sisters, we are called to be free, but not to use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Saying there's these two kingdoms battling against each other. There's this war here. And Paul is saying, don't take your freedom in Christ. Don't take your flesh. Don't indulge it. Don't give into it. He's saying, fight it to serve others. To serve others as Christ would do that. And so, he goes on in this verse and he says, but be humble. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, humility is saying, I'm okay. I'm okay. Christ has filled me. Christ loves me. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. And because of that, I can see others' needs first. See, humility, it's not thinking less of myself. Sometimes we think, oh, I've got to think less of myself. I've got to put myself down. It's not that I think less of myself. It's that I think of myself less often. It's that we put others' needs above mine. And really, humility starts with being humble before God. It starts with being humble before God. And here's a story for you. You guys that went to Winter Retreat, you know of Jamie Winship. And I heard him tell, the first time I ever heard him speak, I heard him tell this story. He's over in, I think he's in Jerusalem, and he's over there, and he's not sure exactly what he's supposed to do. And so he's like, I'm getting the story, not wrong, but I'm putting it together for you. And so he's walking around, and he hears God tell him. He's walking, and he sees this trash in the middle of the street. And he hears God say to him, pick up that piece of trash. And Jamie's like, God, really go pick up that piece of trash? I'm not going to do that. It's just a piece of trash. What does it matter? So God keeps on, pick up this piece of trash. So finally, he walks over and he just picks up the piece of trash, throws it away, And he starts walking. And then through the court, this is a crazy story, I'm telling you. But through the course of that, this person sees him do this. And so he's walking a little farther. He goes in this parking lot. And like this car pulls up and the door opens. And the person's like, get in. He's like, oh no, wait, what is this all about? So he gets in the car. And this person ended up being, is this lady. And I think he talked about her some at Winter Retreat. That he was this super high official in the Israeli government. She sees him pick up the trash. She had been praying that God would send her someone to tell him about who this Jesus guy was. And it started from picking up a piece of trash. There will be things that God calls us to do, but see, it's our humbleness before him. When we hear God tell us to do something that seems so silly, and yet we do it, it's because we're humble before God, because we realize he is in the high position, we are in the low position, we will listen to him, and he will work the results out. And then finally, Paul says, lay down your pride, be humble. And finally, he says, give value to others. What is value is an interesting term. See, if I have a $100 bill and I brought it out, that $100 bill, the only reason, that is just a piece of paper. That $100 bill in itself, that piece of paper is not worth $100. But we have placed value in that $100. And that's why it's worth $100. That's why I can buy us something that has a value of $100, because we have placed value in it. And in your life, you have to make the decision. Will I place value on others in my life? Will I place value in those that are, that's a decision. To give someone significance, means that we have placed value on them. So I want to close down with this. What now? I like the practical. I like the what now. We've heard Jesus lays the example out for us. We've realized that our pride, we have to push that out. And we have to say, God, give me your desires. So what now? 2 Corinthians 4:5 says, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul is saying, the reason we serve is not for ourselves, and it's not even really for others. In the end, it's to glorify God. And in serving others, we glorify God. The first place we're called to serve, as I talked about before, is the church. And it's not the building. We don't just serve in here. It's that we truly serve each other in this room, and the church worldwide serves each other. That's where it starts. We have to be willing to build each other up. But honestly, to serve each other in the church is probably the hardest place to serve. It's probably the hardest place for you to serve those at your table. And the reason being, because you look at them and you say, you're a Christian, you're supposed to act different. You know what the Bible says, and you don't act different. We have a harder time loving and serving each other in the church because we know. But here's the deal. The church, if we're in this spiritual battle, as I've been talking about, these two kingdoms battling against each other, if we're in this spiritual battle, the church has to be the base camp of safety, healing, encouragement, and serving each other. Guys, it starts here. It starts with us serving and loving each other here, to put value on each other here, to humble ourselves, to realize my needs don't have to come first. Other people's needs can come first. So my question is, man, I think we do love each other here, but what if we took it to the furthest extent and said this was a student ministry of serving each other? This room, we'd have to get a new building, because others would start seeing it. You would start serving others out in the church. We would be encouraging each other. We'd be going out. We'd be serving, because we're building each other up. So I'm challenging us to continue to serve each other here, to continue to love each other, to say, I will put value on those around me. I will humble myself. I will lay my pride down for those, for others. And it was interesting. I think we sometimes see the negative effect of this. Me and Wendy were at Herndon Elementary last week, and we went to the library, and we were talking to the librarian. And through the course of some different things, I was able to tell her the reason I had the joy in my life was because of the Lord. And so I ended up, I think we asked her, do you go to church anywhere? And her answer was, yeah, a while ago, but it got toxic in the church, and I have no desire to go back. But then she ends up telling this story about the church that's across the street that did a book drive, and they collected like 1,200 books that they're going to be able to give out throughout the summer. And she said, that's awesome. What they're doing is awesome. But she won't go back into a church because of how people treated her. So we see the negative effects sometimes, but I do think there is some positive things going on in the church. I think we're loving, I think we're serving each other. So the first, well, I do want to read you a quote. You guys know who Gandhi is. I mean, you may have heard this quote. Gandhi said, "I like your Christ. I don't like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." It's hard, guys. It's hard. There's these two things battling each other, the flesh, the world, battling against each other. And Christ is saying, lay it down. I'll give you my desire. So the first place we got to serve is the church. The second place we got to serve is the world. Because to serve in a way that is not looking for anything in return is so unnatural, and it will speak. The church that me and Wendy came from, we would do these tailgates at the local high school football games. We would just hand out free hot dogs. And so we'd go up to people like, look, free hot dog, do you want some? And so many people were like they didn't know what to do. Because it was like, you're just going to give me a free hot dog? You mean you don't want anything in return? And it was cool because we did get to have some conversations about why we're doing it. But as you guys go out and you kind of live your life in a way that you're looking to serve, you're looking for the needs around you, God will use that. It doesn't have to be anything grand. It doesn't have to be a first fruits. It doesn't have to be that. That's great and that speaks. But it's each of you in here saying, Lord, I will look around me for the needs around me. I will look for ways to serve. I will look to you upperclassmen here. I'll look to the freshmen in this room. I'll look for ways to serve them. I'll look for ways to love them. But if we're always waiting for someone else to take the first step, we're missing out on what God has for us. My encouragement to you is take the step of obedience. Listen to God. Each of you here right now, I believe, are hearing from God. Who's the person in my life that he wants me to serve? So here's what I want to do. I just want everyone to just close their eyes for a minute. As I close up, I just want everyone to close their eyes. I got two different people that I'm speaking to here. The first one is those of you in here that are like, yeah, Lee, I've given my life to Christ, but man, it's hard for me to serve. It's unnatural for me. I feel selfish, but Lee, I have a desire. I want to do it. If that's you, if you have a desire to serve, but it's hard, God will meet you there. The fact that you have the desire, he will meet you there. He will give you what you need. If that's you, if you're saying, I want to serve, but it's hard, but I have the desire, just raise your hand. I just want to know how to pray for you. Those of you here that say, I want to serve, but it's really hard. We just want to know how to pray. We want to know who to pray for. All right, thank you. And there may be some of you here that are saying, this is a great message. And you know what? I believe it. But one thing that I said earlier was that to really be able to serve the way that God desires, looking for nothing in return, means that at the beginning, Jesus has to be living inside of you, which means you have accepted him. If you're here and you have not trusted Jesus' death for you and your sins, and that he rose from the grave and defeated death, if you have not believed that in your life, but you want that, with no one looking, I want you to raise your hand to say, I want to take that step. I want to be able to serve. I get it, Lee, but I know that Christ is not, he's not living in me. I have not trusted him. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand so we can know who that is. We just want to be able to pray for you. All right, Lord, I thank you. God, this is a hard message. It flies into my face, and it's hard, and there's a battle, Lord, and it's what you've called us to, and God, I know that you won't leave us alone. You won't leave us alone to ourselves, but God, if you've called us to do this, you will give us the courage, the strength that we need to fulfill it. So God, I pray for those in this room that have the desire. Lord, I pray that right now they will call out to you and say, Lord, I have the desire. Will you meet me there? And God, you will. I pray that for myself, Lord. Would you meet me with my desire to serve others, even though it's hard, God, even though it's unnatural. And for those here that maybe this is the first time that they said, I need you, Jesus. I need you in my life. God, I pray that they would call out to you and trust you, Lord. It's a trust in you. It's not in a system. It's not in a religion, but it's in you because you are God. So help us to be a church that serves and loves. Amen.